get this thing popping. So, John, welcome back. I'm excited to chat about our topic today. It's something we've talked about for a while, but first, how are you? How's it going? What's new?
All's good on my end, Keith. Good to hear you. I did just get back from a trip to London with my family. I got to see a West Ham Leeds match there. I
Yeah.
kind of adopted Leeds as a team. I kind of picked them up this year. I mean, they're not good. They're owned by the San Francisco 49ers group,
Okay.
and they have three Americans: Tyler Adams, Weston McKennie, and Brendan Aaronson on the team. So. And they used to have an American manager, so it's kind of like Ted Lasso in real life. But the manager's now gone. But anyway, they're in a total relegation battle. They can still get out if they win this final weekend. They're playing at home against Tottenham, but
Oh.
they need Everton to lose as well. So it's dire, and they ended up losing to West Ham. But it was a great experience, like first time seeing a match in Europe, it was fun.
So how did the Yanks on the team perform?
Well, Aaronson came in late, kind of in 70s, I guess, and he's kind of a pest, and he I could you know he kind of stirred some things up, so you kind of want him in late. Maybe some will happen. They were down 2-1 at that point, but then Weston McKennie, the one thing I really kind of noticed about him was just his stature out there. I mean, he looks different than kind of the rest of the players. I mean, he's wider. He looks like he could be an athlete in other sports kind of
Yeah.
guy. And so that I found that interesting. You could just really see he was different, different body type. And I think he played fine, but nothing spectacular.
I don't think I realized, and this will actually be a part of our conversation here in a little bit, but I don't think I realized that McKinney moved to the Premier League, and I didn't realize that he was on Leeds.
Yeah, he got signed in the winter transfer season. Moved over from, where was he?
Juventus, right?
Yeah, because their team kind of blew up. They have they were cheating for many years and got caught. So a lot of their players they had to clean up some money, I guess. So I think the American ownership group was kind of keen to get him. And yeah, he's there now. But if they get relegated, it's not good.
Yeah, no. It's well, I hope the best for him. So how was the experience at the stadium?
Yeah, it was funny. I mean, this friend I have in London, he managed a ticket, like, and he was online the day before just trying to find something for the two of us. We couldn't find anywhere together, and then just a ticket popped up, row one at the corner flag. And so he
Oh,
just got that
nice.
for me. And I was sitting right next to the Leeds supporters, which have their own kind of section that's not you can't reach otherwise. And so I was just listening to the Leeds supporters yelling at the West Ham supporters, and so it was pretty comical, just the stuff they were saying to each other.
That's funny. I
Yeah.
can't wait. Hopefully one day I'll get to go to a match overseas, but we'll see. So
Well,
that's really cool, man. I'm happy for you.
thanks, man. If you come to Istanbul, I'll definitely take you to a Beşiktaş match here.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
All right, so that's what's new with you. Anything else?
Yeah.
Anything card wise?
Card wise, I mean, my big recent pickup was part of that my King's gold ref tops chrome gold refractor set, an SGC 9.5 of Chris Webber 2004 popped up and on auction, and I'm just waiting for auctions on these things, and I won it, so I'm just moving along on that set. I do think I'm going to grade them all at SGC. I've kind of come to that decision, and so that's kind of the big pickup. I've also been doing. I flipped a card of this guy on this Dutch team because my neighbor is Dutch and he supports this team called Feyenoord. And he was telling me about this Turkish player there who's like their captain. He's like he's definitely going to the Premier League or one of the big leagues next year. And this set came out called Topps Club UEFA Club Competition. And
Okay.
so it's the first set that they've had where non Champions League. Or non, like basically to get a team like Feyenoord from the Dutch league into a card set is this is the first time.
Okay.
I've just been kind of hunting his cards, and one popped up on eBay. Kind of, in the early morning my time, so people didn't see it for $20. The 1 out of 10, black border, and so for and I just pulled the trigger like right away, and then sent it to Comp C. And it sold last week for 100. So just a
Wow.
nice little flip. Yeah.
Yeah, congrats.
Thanks, man. I hadn't done that in a while, so it was that's always fun.
Yeah, to 5x in short order is pretty nice.
I agree. It can happen, guys out there. Don't lose faith.
That's
How
cool,
about
man.
yourself?
Congratulations. So yeah, well, first, oh, real quick on the Weber. So you picked up the 2004 Topps Chrome Gold Refractor, you said, right?
Yeah.
So how many more? So you, was it? Remind me. Was it 01 to 04? You're trying to get.
It's 02 to 05.
02 to 05. Okay. So
Yeah.
how many more do you need?
So now I need the 2003 Weber and the 2005 Kevin Martin, which is his rookie year, and both those, are listed on eBay, but for prices that I don't want to pay. I'm just gonna keep waiting for auctions and see where they get me.
Nice. Well, good
We're
luck. That's really
getting close.
cool. I
Thanks, man.
liked Kevin Martin for a period of time. His shot was like, if I remember correctly, he had like a really kind of funky shot, but he was a really good shooter, right?
You're right, exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah, he had like this like looping. If I think it was like a, I don't know. I'll have to go watch replays, but I just remember his shot was funny, but he was pretty good.
Yeah, it was like it, and it wasn't, his release point was pretty low and just kind of it looked weird. I'm trying to think who it reminded me of. I want to almost say Jaren Jackson Jr. or something, but
Okay.
yeah, he was a good player.
Yeah, awesome. Well, I'm glad that you're closing in on it. That's pretty cool. It's been a long time since I set a goal and like totally finished it out from a card perspective. Like I've got open, I guess the last one was that slam set I talked about. I've got open like sets or groups I've been trying to put together, but it's really, really cool when you get to the home stretch. So congrats on that.
Thanks, man. What sets are you kind of trying
Well,
to close down?
like I decided a while back, I was like, you know what, I think I'm gonna try to complete a set, because when I was a kid, that was one of the things I remember trying to do, and that was a lot of fun, and hoping it wouldn't cost like an arm and a leg. So I really kind of liked the Panini Photogenic product that came out last year, so I bought like a whole bunch of base cards and one of those kind of like choose your card type thing. I think I've probably got 50 or so of the cards, some stars and some less stars, but I mean it's a pretty small set. It's not like a big 300 card set or anything, so it should be completable. But basically since then I like looked at them, sorted them, made notes of all the ones I needed, and I just haven't done much to look for it. And I guess the downfall of that one is, unless I'm picking them up in bulk, like paying $1 for a common card and shipping it for $4 or $2 or even another dollar adds up too much over time, right? Even when you're trying to get 60 cards that are not like all of, there are some that I need that are a little bit more expensive, like some of the rookies and stuff. But I don't know. I didn't really think about the impact of it, so I've been on hold for that one for a while. I've just got a stack of those sitting there. I need that Kobe Fresh Threads to kind of finish that trio for
Right.
'96. Still looking at that one. There's a couple auctions that are out now. It's one of those things where every single time there's one I want to bid on, it basically closes in the evening around dinner time, or the time I'm putting my daughter to bed, or playing games, board games with my wife and a cousin or whatever. So like I've just missed a lot of those auctions, but hopefully I can close that one out soon. Just stuff like that. Nothing major, but
Cool. Keep me posted, man, obviously.
yeah, I also just bought into like a break for the first time in a while. It breaks tonight. I got it's a Crown Royal case break, and I got Tari Eason. I think it was $17 free shipping or something like that, which is pretty good. I've seen that same auction, a case of Crown Royal for that player go for like 22 to 24 with $5 shipping. So I got a decent discount on that. I know nothing about this breaker. It's probably not the way to go in terms of just blindly tuning into an auction and like, but I don't know. We'll see. I'm pretty happy with it.
Right on. I've actually been getting into breaks too. I feel like they're just getting reasonably priced. Again, this Turkish guy on this Dutch team bought into two breaks. It's like $4, $4.50, and one of the two breaks I got an out of $3.99. But whatever, I got a bunch of common cards basically. But it's fun.
Yeah, I don't know what's I don't I haven't even watched a break of this, so like I really don't know like what to expect. I mean, obviously I know the set and I know which cards are in the set and all that kind of stuff, but I have no idea like if I should even expect anything or not, but we'll see.
What options are there for Eason?
Oh man, I don't know. I'd have to go look at the checklist or whatever, but there's a few of them. There's some autos, I don't know, a few other things. Like I said, I'd have to look it up. I'm almost like going into it blind, but I've been looking at, since I don't know if it's This is some inside baseball here, but I don't know if it's because I said on the podcast, like after going through the rookies, that based on his current prices and you know where I think his statistical profile kind of lined up, that I feel obligated to actually follow through on it, so I don't feel like I'm one of those touts who or like people who just like tout a player and then don't do anything about it. So I've been looking at lots of stuff, but I've picked up a few like low number parallels and color matches and stuff. I've got tons of his cards on my watch list, but I'm being pretty diligent about, because I know I've got all summer, right? Being pretty diligent about prices that I'm comfortable with. So hopefully I can pick up a few more things for, let's say, less than $100 total, and just be happy with that. So we'll see.
I like it, man. I mean, he was, I think I picked him up in fantasy at one point. Because he was popping statistically, in fantasy circles, everyone's like, oh, free Tari Eason kind of thing, you know? So there could be something there. And right, he seems to have a pretty good runway in terms of positions on that roster at this point, at least.
Yeah, I just think that except for Sengun, really, like they really don't. Jalen Green, maybe Kevin Porter Jr. Don't know what they're gonna do with him, but you know, gotta. There just seems to be like I don't think that anyone's really set in stone. So yeah, I think he came off the bench most of the year, but he still made, if I'm not mistaken, didn't he make second team all rookie?
I don't know that.
I think so. Yeah, he did. Yeah, he made second team all rookie.
Yeah, I see. Okay, nice. He definitely has I want to say, you know, obviously a base card in that Crown Royale. I was looking it up, and but he has, I want to say, three or four parallels too in there. So I wish you luck, man.
Thanks. You know, we'll see. Like I said, we'll see. It was a sort of fly by the seat of my pants, but I'm excited. Hadn't done a break in a while. I'm excited to get you know, disappointed all over again.
Yeah, as long as you're ready to lose the buy-in, you're fine.
Oh yeah, I mean, $17. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
So, all right, John. We've been wanting to talk soccer for a while. I've been a little hesitant because I've been much further away from it than even when I started this podcast like a year ago, and certainly from like my peak in terms of getting into soccer. So I guess before we get into like soccer cards and maybe a discussion of like the you know national teams or you know what's going on in America related to soccer and that kind of stuff. Do you want to spend some time just kind of going over like our story, how we came to soccer and stuff like that?
Sounds good. Yeah, because I think it'll be relatable.
Yeah, do you want to kick us off?
Sure. I mean, I played rec soccer, loved it. You know, you just run around, chase the ball. I was good at that. But then, you know, at high school, finally, I can't run for very long or very fast. So
Sound like me, yes.
that just totally caught up with me at that point at the high school level because guys have been playing and I was never going to catch up with them running. But I you know, I liked the game, the skills and stuff. And then, so yeah, I basically left it. I mean, I became a water polo player after that. I was a good swimmer, so you know, that was a fall sport as well. So it actually worked out that I got cut. But always loved football. Kind of my, you know, before high school, the one of the best memories. And if there was ever a ticket, and I've looked at buying one, but I just can't pull the trigger on a ticket yet, is to the 1994 World Cup was in the States. You probably remember. And my parents took me to a my mother took me to it was USA Brazil. It just happened we got lucky that was the round of 16 game. You know, I remember that so well. It was like so exciting rooting for that team, trying to, you know, and they kind of hung around, only lost 1-0. I think that goal came in the first half, but or maybe it was in the 70s even. But I mean, Brazil won that year. So you know, that kind of gave me the bug on USA men's soccer, let's say. And then in 2002, you know, the next, I mean, in 1998, we went to the World Cup, but we suck. That was in France. And then, you know, all that momentum, kind of the MLS got launched after 94. And anyway, then 2002, we had our best World Cup. Did you follow that one closely?
That was we'll get to it, but yeah, that's one of the
Okay.
first men's World Cup I remember watching. I watched some women's World Cup before that, but I remember watching that one. That was in right at the end of my like high school years.
Yeah, so that's kind of, I mean, that World Cup totally captivated me. I found out early in the summer I was going to Senegal with the Peace Corps, so I was like a big Senegal fan. And they went far in it. The U.S. went far. We beat Mexico in the round 16, and then lost to Germany. And Senegal then lost in the in the quarters also to Turkey of all places. Like, so I hated Turkey after that. And lo and behold, I'm here. And so, yeah, just that I kind of always love, you know, I think I shared this on a previous pod, but, you know, I'm fascinated by why we aren't so good at soccer. I mean, we have great athletes, and I guess I, you know, have good understanding of why, but, you know, I'm always just kind of pulling for us big at the World Cup to do well on the international stage. I like international competition and seeing how we match up. So yeah, that's kind of the extent of my soccer fandom, at least until recent years.
Let me tell you how I got into it.
What about you, I guess? I mean, where, you know, how did you get into it as a kid?
Yeah, so I guess I'll tell a story, right? So if you go back to like your elementary school class pictures, right, there was always that like tall, skinny kid, right, who kind of stood out and looked awkward and like he also couldn't run or anything. Like, that was me always. So I'm 6'5", so I guess to some people that's really tall, but to me, like I walk in a stadium or something that's really crowded and I see someone that's like 6'7", I'm like, dang, that guy's tall. But anyway, so that was me, right? I played baseball and basketball all the time growing up. Like, I was pretty good at both. I was coordinated, but I never had good feet. So I was probably 6 or 7 and I played one season of soccer with some friends. Like, my friend's buddy was the dad. I mean, the coach, my friend's buddy's dad was the coach. And I didn't like it. I didn't like playing soccer, and I can only remember one or two things about it. One is that, you know, the dad was the coach, and two was because, like, I was bigger than everyone, or at least taller than everyone, and I was skinny, right? So I wasn't like big, but still, you know, weighed more and everything. Like, I just remember dribbling and running and kids running into me, right? This is the way, right? I remember it. You know, I don't know. My parents might tell a different story, but I remember kids just running into me and like basically bouncing off and falling down, and they would blow the whistle all the time. And I was like, this sucks, right? Like, I can't even like run down the field and touch someone without them stopping the play. Like, I don't even know what they were calling at that point, right? But anyway, so like, just to be clear, like, this was like city league, lowest level soccer that you can like possibly get to. And it was also before people got like serious about youth soccer and stuff like that in the States. So anyway, like, since then, I basically had this like, I hate soccer mentality. Well, I definitely distinctly remember watching the women's national team win gold in 99. That was probably the first time I remember watching soccer. That was the sort of infamous Brandi Chastain, you know, shootout celebration. Like, I remember watching that live. That was awesome. And that was the first time I thought, hey, soccer can be kind of cool. Like, that was pretty neat. Because like you, I always love like international competition. I love the Olympics. You know, winter, yeah. Summer, any sport, it doesn't matter. I just love it. I think it's like one of the coolest things. So my youngest sister and oldest cousin were actually both also pretty good soccer players. And I went to a bunch of their games, especially my sister's games. But even my nephew, like when he was growing up, played a bunch of soccer. And I went to a lot of his games as well. So started seeing a lot more like youth soccer games, and especially once they got into high school, it started becoming more like, you know, real competition, you know, and pretty fun to watch, whether it was high school teams or club teams or whatever. So anyway, like, I had several friends that played high school soccer. In college, I started getting closer to those guys and started truly sort of getting into it a little bit more. I remember watching the World Cup in 2006, and especially, here's one of the biggest things, playing a lot more FIFA. So I think this is actually a common thread for a lot of like American boys in terms of getting into soccer and learning the international players and game is actually playing FIFA. So anyway, fast forward then to 2014, I essentially decided to drop my baseball fandom, right? Like, there's too many games. The games are too slow. I live in Texas, so going to Ranger games in the summer was freaking awful. I mean, I remember going sitting in the sun and it was like 108 degrees one time. It was like the worst experience I've had at a sporting event. So anyway, like, you know, and back then, things have changed this year, but back then it was like totally common for games to last 3 hours, 3.5 hours. And it's just like, I can't do this 162 times a year. Like, it just got to be too ridiculous. So anyway, I wanted something else, something that occurred way less often, was faster paced, more fun. And I just decided to give soccer a try. Like, at that time, I heard the best way to immerse yourself is just to pick a team and follow them. So like, so I decided to, so at, I knew that I could watch Premier League games, so I decided to focus on the Premier League. It was a little harder for me at the time to watch like La Liga or Ligue 1 or anything like that. So I didn't, and I also didn't want the Yankees. And like at least in my mind at that time, 2014 or so, it was Man U, what kind of like the Yankees of the Premier League. City had just started becoming good. Like I think they had won first, second, and first or something like that in the 3 seasons prior to me getting in. But so I didn't really want one of those. I had a buddy who was a big Man City fan. I wanted to kind of compete against them or whatever. So I narrowed it down to like Liverpool, Chelsea, Arsenal, and I even considered Everton a little bit. Played a bunch of FIFA with those teams. Like tried to look at young players that might be there for a while. Didn't want a team that was like gonna really be in danger of getting relegated because that would suck. But also had a possibility to win. So anyway, I ended up landing on Liverpool, and for 3 or 4 years, like basically watched every single Liverpool match, like learning, like one, learning the game, but two, learning the players and all that kind of stuff. Played some fantasies, soccer, and all of that. Like it was a blast. So like that's really how I got into it. I'm certainly not a soccer player. I have played like with some friends on club leagues and stuff like that, but I am still that tall, awkward person on the field who like can't run and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, that's how I sort of started getting into it. And then and I want to ask you about this too, like from a card perspective, but like from a card perspective, like around COVID, I got in like most like COVID time. So 2020, 2021, shortened season, like we had just gotten our daughter, and like my ability to keep up like really kind of started to wane. It was also at that time like impossible to find like basketball wax, right? Like like I said, I didn't really want to collect baseball. I wasn't interested in it. Football, I don't know. I was there for a time. I was into football cards like growing up, but I wanted to focus on basketball. Like, but even blasters were like impossible to find, or they were marked up like ridiculously high. Like it just was cost prohibitive. But soccer, I could find soccer blasters, and I could go to a show or something and buy them, and it wasn't too bad. So I've only collected a few things like here and there soccer wise, but I don't have many soccer cards that I love, but I still love looking at them. And to this day, still the only hobby box I've bought since getting back into it is a 2021 Topps MLS. That was the Caden Clark year. Also Cade Cowell's on there too, who I watched some of his highlights in the MLS. He's seems like extremely fast on the wing and everything. So anyway, that's kind of how I got into it. I've since then I've bought more cards and that kind of stuff, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But yeah, that's sort of my like origin story in terms of soccer. So it was I'm not a soccer native or anything like that, so different
Yeah,
perspective,
no, nor am I. When I moved to Turkey, I adopted a team, Beşiktaş, as I mentioned already. Well, it's a long story, I won't tell it, but it was good also that my father-in-law supported this team. You just make friends and integrate, and you it's a good excuse here for men to go get together, right? You go and like Beşiktaş is pretty cool because they have this neighborhood called Beşiktaş, which is then it's about a 10, 15 minute walk to the stadium. So 1 year I got a season ticket, and
Nice.
you drink rakı. I don't know if you know what that is. Like it's like the ouzo kind of
Okay.
liquor flavored stuff, and beers and fish, and you just and then you walk over to the stadium and watch the match together. So that was just kind of a fun way to integrate. And I always follow Beşiktaş since I've been here. But I think kind of like you, COVID kind of thrust me into it as well. I think one, I had a neighbor, my neighbor, I've referenced him as well before, but he's Dutch and he just knows soccer. And I had never really took the step to kind of learn about European leagues and such. So I'm really only about 2 or 3 years into it, and it's not like I'm playing FIFA and I'm trying my best, but I have a lot of other things going on. Obviously, you can't like totally devote learning a new sport, but
Sure.
it's just better because you can have conversations with people here. It's just kind of easier cultural entry point. Following baseball, I'm kind of done with that. So it just kind of made sense. And then that triggered really nicely transitioned into cards. Kind of like you said, when I got back in, I found basketball prices, and I still find them too high. Maybe just now they're starting to get normal for kind of rookies or something. And soccer is just, you know, it's just a lot cheaper and a lot less known and, you know, just kind of funner. I mean, the pop reports are lower, that kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah, I experienced that same thing. Like, it was just, I don't know. I mean, and like I said, at that time I was like pretty deep into it. And so it was a way to like collect players that I enjoyed. Or at least see cards and open cards of players that I enjoyed watching on TV or whatever. And yeah, it was a great time. It was a great time for it. It probably still is. It's just that I haven't been able to watch nearly as much, which is why I've been hesitant to engage in this conversation. I don't want to feel like a total like ignorant Yankee, because like I haven't, honestly, I've paid very little attention to soccer essentially since we got our daughter. So yeah. So,
well, fair enough. I'm sure you did follow at least the Liverpool Champions League final.
Yeah, of course, I'm sure you haven't been totally out not totally, but pretty close.
Yeah, I mean you know, and one of the things that I really liked was just kind of how, and I just listening to podcasts and listening to people talk about how they collect, you know, player collecting really appeals to me. And you know, so I going back to this 2002 World Cup, you know, the best player there was on our team was Claudio Reyna. He's still kind of the only American to make the kind of World Cup All-Star team ever. He, you know, he just kind of reminds me of my dad a bit, who's also from New Jersey. And he, you know, he's this midfielder who didn't score all that much, but just, you know, kind of the heart and soul of the team. So I just was really attracted to him as a player. And so I, you know, to kind of dive back into his cards, like, I, you know, no one really collects that guy. So it's kind of, you know, I can tell, like, you know, that's not really happening. So I have a really nice Claudio Reyna collection. I have, like, you know, PSA 10 of his 2006 World Cup card. I have a PSA 9 of his 2002 World Cup card. And there's only one 10 out there, so I'm kind of looking for that. I have a 1-of-1 Futera card of him. Just, you know, just some good stuff. So it's like, you know, it was really fun to kind of channel that. And, you know, I think all of us do this to some extent, to just kind of feel like a kid again and tap into that nostalgia, right? So, you know, it was just a fun way to kind of rekindle that. And do player collecting, I would say, if you're attracted to the game enough or have an interest.
On the topic of Claudio Reyna real quick, like, so you sent me a Claudio Reyna card. It's pretty awesome. It's him and
Gio. Yeah,
Gio, thank you. See, told you, I've been out of it.
No worries, man.
It's hard to like fit. I don't know. I wouldn't say a marvel, but the people who are like pretty well versed in like all the sports, like that was definitely me at one time, but man, it's gotten way harder the last couple of years. I don't know if it's the I don't know, but anyway,
bad brain maybe.
Yeah maybe. So Claudio Reyna, if I wanted to go look for a Claudio Reyna card that was like a solid card but at a lowish price point, like, would you have a recommendation for me?
You know, I mean, to me, my favorite card of him, I mean, that's kind of popular, is the 2006. I think that set is pretty good looking. And, you know, a PSA 9 you can get for $20 probably. Nice. Which, you know, and it's just a nice looking card. 2006 Panini World Cup. There's a Messi in that set, Ronaldo. Compared to 2002 or even 2010, it's which have cards. And before that, you know, he has... I assume you're just interested in U.S. stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be my preference. Right? Yeah.
There, you know, I found this sticker from Serbia. They made them in Serbia, and I bought a couple copies raw, graded one. It got a 5 at SGC, and I just love it. It's 1998. He's got this kind of fro going.
Okay.
Like curly hair, like long hair. But then I found one. A PSA 8 popped up on PWCC, and I got that for maybe $20. So nice. And that's the only one graded there. So I'm kind of cornered the market on that sticker. But that's my favorite sticker by far. So I'll send you a photo after this. You know, maybe I can move my SGC 5 to you if you're interested.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, I'd love to see it. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So
what about you though, in terms of, have you found any players that you want to collect?
You know, I don't think I want, so no, I think the answer is no. I do have some favorite players, and I do want, like, I've mentioned this before. It's been a while since I brought it up, but I don't think at least for there's really only one player that I care to have a ton of cards for, and that's basically Dirk, right? So the rest of it, what I really want is a nice card or two of players or teams or something that I enjoyed watching or were impactful or whatever, to put on my shelf, right? Like my goal is to fill two shelves in my office with cards that I like love. So I don't intend to be a player collector per se, but they're like, for instance, I mentioned I was a Liverpool fan, or I'm sorry, supporter in soccer parlance or football parlance. So like I have a decent like Sadio Mane that I like. I have a decent like a nice Trent Alexander-Arnold, the Topps Chrome refractor from his like basically what's considered essentially his rookie card. Pretty happy with that. But I would love like a Roberto Firmino. I need an Andy Robertson. I have a Steven Gerrard, but it's like a Topps Project 22, which is a really cool card actually. I actually love that card, but I would like to find one from his playing days. So, that kind of stuff. But I'm not planning on getting 3, 4, 10, 20 cards of the same player for the most part, I don't think, in soccer.
Fair enough. Yeah, I mean, obviously, dabble as you like, and yeah, I mean, those Topps Project cards are cool. I do like those.
Yeah, there's a well, and actually, I want to ask you like what's on your buy list, but there's a Zlatan. So I have, like I said, I have a Gerrard, but there's a Zlatan who I actually have always appreciated. I mean, I understand like his persona and bravado, like it certainly turns people off, but I feel like it's mostly like in jest, and he has a pretty good a pretty good like self-awareness of like what he is doing and what it looks like, which makes
Yeah.
me appreciate it even more. So
Yeah.
anyway, I and also like he's if you watch like his highlight videos, he's got some incredible highlights. But anyway, so like, oh, I don't know. So do you remember when he moved to the Galaxy and like his first game he got subbed in and scored a goal in like nearly midfield?
No, I didn't know that.
I need to send you that video. It's crazy. I was actually watch I don't know why. I just happened to be watching that game, which I don't watch MLS really, and I just happened to have that on and I saw it. It was awesome. But anyway, so like I have a sticker of his from 2000 and something. I'll have to find it. But I have a sticker of his that I like, but I am looking at a Project 22 of his that I really like too.
Right on, right on.
So you wanted to talk a little bit about soccer in America. Do you want to talk about that now?
Yeah, although maybe because I also want to talk to you about Modric. Why your interest in Modric?
Yeah, so I'll tell you, my interest in him is like pretty simple, right? And that is in the 2018 World Cup. That was the year that Croatia made the final, right?
Correct.
So I was pretty, like I said, this is like peak of my soccer fandom probably. I'll have to go back and like I don't have the recall for these things. I'll have to go back and see like when Liverpool like started making Champions Leagues and stuff like that. I think it was right about that time. And maybe even went to the Champions League final that year or at least that season. But anyway, so peak soccer fandom time for me. And just wa so I watched every World Cup game that I could match. Sorry. Let me stick with the Let me say it right for the true soccer football heads out there, right?
Dude, by the way, I mean, you shouldn't feel like you got to speak British or something. And it's actually because of the British that we say soccer. And you can Google it, but it's basically they started calling it soccer. And then they realized like that they sounded like Americans saying soccer. So sometime in the 1980s or so, they start dropping it and calling it football. So,
Interesting.
yeah. Don't feel bad. They know you're American anyway, so I find it's more clear in conversation to actually just use soccer because they know what I mean. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but then I don't get to feel like I know what I'm talking about if I just
Yeah.
speak like an American. All right, but no, I appreciate that. So anyway, I watched almost every game that World Cup, and like just watching him that year was incredible. And like bringing that Croatia team to the World Cup final, and he himself was incredible. The entire tournament, and it was almost nothing more than that. Like that alone, and didn't he win the Golden Boot one year too?
He did that year because of it, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know, that alone like just made me a fan of his for sure. Like just seeing his hair flop around like running in midfield and everything, like he was so much fun to watch that year specifically. And that's about it. So I don't have much more of a story than that, except watching him like made me a fan basically for life. That one World Cup run.
I mean, that makes sense, and it's cool to hear that. I mean, he is kind of a special player that way. I mean, that they had such success there, and I mean, even they made the semifinals. You know, the most recent World Cup. Yeah, I mean, I didn't really know of him until maybe a year and a half ago or something, like through cards. And I'm just kind of looking at, you know, who to collect, and kind of, you know, I'm into the Balkan guys a bit. And then my son is named Luca. So I'm like, all right, this is kind of perfect. And, you know, I started learning more about him. Like, all right, I'm in on this. So yeah, he's become kind of my number one, you know, soccer PC guy. I have like, you know, 15 searches on eBay, you know, for different stuff or whatever. And, yeah. He's you know, I'm always kind of keeping an eye out for his stuff. And yeah.
So yeah, you've talked about some of your pickups. You got some cool stuff. Like I would say passively search for his cards. I have one, I think it's a 2016 select something, one of the inserts that year of his. So nothing major. But I'm still like on the lookout for some cool Luca stuff. Plus in some of my other searches, if I search Luca instead of Doncic, I sometimes pull in some of his cards in my searches too. So that's how I've ended up with several of stuff on my watch list too.
that might have happened to me as well. You know, now I think about it. I was first looking for Doncic. So it sounds like you would, if you did want a card, and we can talk more about this offline or whatever. But you know, you would want Croatia kid, right?
Yeah, I think I would want Croatia kid. Like, and that's you know what, that's another interesting, like totally interesting thing. But even so, like, I was chatting with a friend of mine, another friend of mine, who, and I was asking him like, hey, I would like to have one. And he's not a card collector or anything like that, but I would like to have one like Ronaldo card, right? Mm-hmm. Like a decent one that nothing big or anything, but just something that I enjoy looking at. But I cannot for the life of me figure out which kit I want him in. Is it the country, you know, is it the Portuguese kit or Man U or Real? I mean, I think if I had to guess, I'd probably say for like Ronaldo, it'd be like Madrid. And for Modric, I think it would certainly be Croatia. Yeah,
I think that makes sense. I do think you got to go Real Madrid for Ronaldo. Yeah.
So all right. So you're into Luka Modric. Is there anything else you wanted to say about him or ask about?
No, I always kind of reference him, I feel like, on shows, so I won't go deeper now. You know, I'll let you know if I get some any big cards that I'm going after.
Yeah, please.
But
do.
I'm pretty selective at this point. And kind of the only other thing I collect is probably unsurprising is I collect these sets of, you know, I have a set of the U.S. men's team where I'm going for one from basically 2002 onward. So every card set that's been created, although 94 did have an Upper Deck set, but there are like 20 cards in it and it's very common. So I probably won't bother, but I have Raw all of 2002. I'm trying to get 2006. I'm trying to get all the American players in PSA 10, which is a challenge. Same with 2006 and 2010, I'm trying to do that. 2014, I'm trying to get one of every U.S. player in the purple out of 99 Prism. And then, you know, 18, we didn't make it. And then 2022, I've been working on this set, which I did complete, of Gold's National Treasures of all the players in that set. So
that's awesome.
That's kind of my collecting area. Yeah.
And so how deep are you into, so you said all of the sets that have been made, you're trying to get
for men's
team?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Wow.
From 2002 onward. So you take out 2018, basically.
And so how deep are you into that?
Pretty deep. I mean, 2002, I'm kind of chilling on because I have raw copies of all the Japanese versions, which are kind of different, a little more unique. So I kind of like those. 2014, I lack one card. Jermaine Jones, been looking for that about a year. 2010, I just decided to kind of go for it. I saw a few listings, you know, I picked up like two from one guy, and I expect it to take a while. And there's a Bradley card in there that has no PSA 10s, so I might struggle. And one of the funnier things I've done is both for 2010 and 2006. In 2006, I lacked two guys, Bocanegra and Altidore. And so what I've done is I bought a bunch of raw copies off of Comp C.
Okay.
They're waiting for me at home when I go in June. I'm just going to like see if they look good. I have graded my way into one of the 2006 cards. So I feel like I just kind of got to grade my way into it because they don't pop up. There's like one copy or something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right.
So it's a challenge.
That's cool. Man, you're like lapping me in terms of like completing hobby goals and stuff. That's great. I'm happy for you.
Thanks, man. I don't know. I've been working on them for a while, like a year or so.
All right. So Modric, men's national team, anything else on your like buy list?
Not really. No. Yeah, that's it. I mean, this Turkish guy I mentioned, I'm kind of still, I always look for his cards too, but
all right,
that's it. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Like I said, you know, I'm struggling. One person that I definitely I have a saved search for, but I really haven't even like identified the card that I want is like Roberto Firmino. And I know that he's not like a huge name or anything like that. So, and I don't want to spend a ton of money on it, but I don't know. I've always enjoyed watching him like as a striker. Like he always like tracks back and everything. And I just feel he's one of those players. And maybe you can speak a little bit more to this, like in terms of like Modric, but like he's just one of those players who just seems to like do like make winning plays, you know, like do what it takes to win, regardless of position. Doesn't, you know, it never seems like he's got a big head about him or anything like that. Like he'll just whatever it takes, he'll do it. I've always loved watching him, even though he's been overshadowed, you know, by Salah or whoever. And certainly now he's getting a little older and all that kind of stuff. But man, he was fun. So like trying to find a decent card of his. And of course, Christian Pulisic. I need to find a card of his that I like too. I've got one or two just kind of like base cards that I think are kind of cool that are sort of stand-ins. But in the end, I really would like to get the 2016 Select Silver. That's the one in his US kit. I think that'd be pretty cool.
That is a cool card. Yeah, this Firmino thing. I love discovering the soccer card market and looking around. So I'm gonna look around. I assume you want something in a Liverpool kit, but much like Nathaniel does for me, he's always tossing me like pink stuff, and I'm like, oh, that is kind of cool, you know. So I'm gonna try to work on you now that I know a little more about what you're looking for.
Oh yeah, I mean don't spend too much time or anything, but yeah, that'd be cool if you see anything pop up. I'd love to hear about it.
Well, that looking's half the fun, you know.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So partly one of the other things, I mean, you know, I'm curious what you think about this is the. You know, the whole narrative, you know, soccer, U.S. men's soccer, we've been saying since 94, I guess, you know, the MLS started, okay, America's going to be good in soccer one day, you know, it's coming. And I'll tell you, the Europeans around me really think that's happening. And I think they just think we have so much money here and, you know, we already have big athletes and they're just like, oh, it's a fait accompli. This is going to happen. But I'm not convinced personally because we've had now 3 decades since 94 to do something. But, you know, now with this kind of newer generation, you know, they got some experience in 2022 at the World Cup and they're all pretty young. I think we were like the youngest team at the tournament, or if not the second youngest team, it was.
Yep.
We were young. And, you know, so the narrative then is that with 2026, it's coming to home soil. You know, obviously teams definitely perform better when they are home. You know, is this going to finally be the breakthrough? You know, is MLS going to start to be a real league that attracts real talent? I'm dubious, but I'm curious, and I don't live there now, so I don't have a good pulse on it. What do you think about soccer? Is it growing? Like, what do you think?
Well, I will tell you, like, at some point we probably need to get like an expert on to talk about this, but I will give you my perspective as an American living in America. But I will tell you, like, I've got a pretty small bubble, right? Like, I can only speak to my experience of, like, with friends and family and stuff like that. But the folks that I know who are most into soccer here fall in one of three categories. They're international. So I work with lots of international folks, and that's one of the things that I'm able to like connect with them on, right? Because essentially outside of the States, that's pretty much, unless you're like, except for maybe some of the Caribbean countries and stuff where it's baseball, like that's pretty much the sport, right? So that's one category. Two is they're young. Several of the folks that I work with are, you know, let's say like around college age or just getting out of college. And again, almost to a man, every one of them has a favorite soccer team. Like, I don't know if that means that they're huge fans or spend money or anything like that. But like one guy I work with right now quite a bit is big into the, I think it's the Cincinnati MLS team.
Okay.
So it's two. And the third group is they just grew up playing soccer. and just have stuck with it, right? And like,
right.
I think historically, and I think this is true, lots of kids, maybe even most kids, play soccer first as like an introduction to team sports growing up.
Yeah.
The States. And I think that's true.
Yeah.
And it has been true for a long time, but I don't know how many of them end up sticking with it. It's just kind of like, it's pretty easy to understand, right? You can throw a 4-year-old or a 5-year-old onto a field, right? And say like, here you go, run and kick this thing. And that's about it. Like, they don't really need to know much more. But I think what has typically been the experience for most, and again, even me, like I said, I can't remember how old, but let's say it was 6, right? But even me, like, it was one of the first team sports I played growing up. But I think most of them either grow out or move to a different sport at some point. And I don't know if it's because they don't like it. Here in Texas, I will tell you, like, a lot of that happens in the spring and summer, at least for youth. Like, high school soccer season is in the fall and winter. But at least there's a lot of like summer, you know, when kids are off school, parents are looking for things to do. And, you know, it's freaking hot in Texas. So summer soccer tournaments, right, at 2 p.m. on a Saturday afternoon or whatever, like, are a beating for parents and for kids. And I imagine if that's one of the reasons why eventually, at least what I've seen, like, historically, lots of kids move away from it. But I do think there's some reason, like, it's been a little while since we were like deep into the NFL, CTE, head trauma stuff. But mm-hmm. I do think safety is a consideration that more parents are taking into account now than before. So like, I don't know. Let me just stop there for a second. Like, what do you think of that? I've got, like I said, 3 categories of folks that I know of all the soccer people I know, it's one of those three. Like, but I guess the other thing is that excludes anyone not in those categories, which is a lot of people. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't, you know, we're not demographic specialists here, but those do seem to me like 3 pretty key categories. You know, I mean, the internationals are going to be obvious, but obviously the youth is critical because that's, you know, the future of it. And then, but also, it's interesting to hear that guys and gals who played it now are also following, because I played, but I did not follow it. So that to me is a difference from, you know, a generation or something. To me, it's kind of, you know, from the labor, I think you just need to get more guys going over to Europe when they're young, you know, making $300,000-$500,000 to play on some team in, you know, the Netherlands or Germany or Austria or whatever. And you just start seeing, okay, wait, there's actually real money here, you know. Whereas if you go to, say, American football, you got to play college 4 years, right?
Or 3,
then,
yeah.
They give them 3 now, okay. And then you go into this labor situation where, you know, it's not very friendly in the NFL. And you know, you have, you know, concussion problems or injury. I mean, injuries are far more likely. I mean, it happened in soccer too. Baseball to me also is less attractive because you gotta, you know, kind of just hang out in the minor leagues for years before you can get called up. So it's, you know, kind of, I feel like the finances should also propel it. But I think so much of it depends on kind of MLS being also supplying those economic opportunities where kids, you know, when they're 15, 16, instead of playing some other sports, baseball or football, most notably, they're like, yeah, let's go to soccer.
I'll tell you. So a comment on that, like, and that is accessibility of international soccer is, I think, still a problem, right? Like, there was a time when either on NBC or the app, like, I could pretty much watch any Premier League game that I wanted to. But then they started paywalling a bunch of it, which makes sense. Like, I understand. Like, obviously, we can't go and watch every NBA game that we want to. It's all behind a paywall and all that kind of stuff. So, like, I understand the economic. I'm not, like, I understand.
Right.
But I will tell you, like, it's not as easy to, like, if I have a team, it's not easy to go and watch their games all the time without, and obviously the younger generation is, like, pretty good about, let's just say, accessing games that are supposed to be inaccessible without payment.
Of course. But
still, and the other thing too is, I mentioned this, and I say it sounds kind of silly, but it's not a joke. Like, what 18-year-old or 19 or 20-year-old do you know that's going to wake up at 8 a.m. on a Saturday morning, right? To watch a soccer game. Like, I know when I was that age, like, I was certainly not waking up at 8 ever. on Saturday mornings, right? And it's like pretty difficult. Like the timing is not great. It is nice when you don't have anything to do and you are up. Like that's cool. But if you're not like making it an appointment, I don't know. It's still not perfect, I guess, for especially for international leagues. And I'll tell you another thing too. Like, I mean, I don't know how to watch PSG, right? I don't know how to watch Juventus. I at times am able to watch La Liga games, or at least the bigger clubs, but it's pretty difficult. Like I'll put it this way. Like if I wanted to watch that West Ham Leeds match you went to, I have no idea how I would do it. No idea. And I don't think that doesn't help. Like if a yeah, it's cool. American goes to whatever, wherever, Italy or wherever to play. But if you can't watch it from a fan's perspective, at least, like from I think you were talking more about motivation of like kids playing soccer, which makes sense. But
Right.
from a fan's perspective, it's not ideal still.
Makes sense. Makes sense. Yeah, there are big hurdles with the time zones and the travel, just getting guys over even from Europe for, CONCACAF is kind of an issue. Qualifying and stuff for the World Cup. I'm just kind of hoping for a good performance in 26 to just kind of, light the match a bit and get the momentum going, because I still think we're kind of decades away from what number one being like a real threat to win the World Cup or something kind of level, and number two to just, I think more what you're talking about, and we both have been, is just, is it going to be a really popular sport? And that I'm still like, I don't know. I mean, demographics do change in 20 years, so maybe, but hard to see immediately.
So, another point you made was about MLS. Like, and I will tell you, I have got a couple thoughts on that too. And again, this is coming from a person who's like, I'm certainly no expert in, football, soccer fandom, right? But I think, okay, so I went to FC Dallas game. I've been to one and it was a blast. I love it. In fact, I've talked with my wife and I've talked, we're like, hey, we need to take our daughter. She's 2.5. Like, there's a lot of open space. It's not like going to a Mavericks game or something like that, where, there's just like incredibly crowded. So, and plus, she's young, so it's not easy to have her sit in a seat for 3 hours or whatever, right? But that environment is kind of perfect for her if we want to go and like watch a game and her get to like feel the crowd and all that kind of stuff. Like, those are experiences that I want to like introduce her to early and stuff. So I definitely want to do it. But even when they're so I mentioned Zlatan coming over or any of these other players that have come and played kind of the twilight of their careers in the MLS, like unless you're already a soccer fan, you're almost certainly not making it at an appointment to go to an MLS match to watch it. So I don't know, man, I have a hard time. Like, I just have a hard time believing the MLS will ever be like on par with even some of
Like,
the second level leagues in Europe.
Germany or Netherlands or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Germany, not even that, but yeah. Netherlands or Portugal or something like that. Yeah. I don't
It's
know.
like just to go to the baseball analogy. I mean, I have family that used to live in Midland, Texas. Okay. And I would go and visit them, and we would go to, I think they had a double A team, if I'm not mistaken, fed the Angels, the Angel system. And it was fun. And I remember going to those games and having a lot of fun. Just like I went to the MLS game and had a lot of fun. But in the end, it's like it's still double A, right? Like if you want to watch the best, you're gonna have to go to Europe and stuff. And I just don't see how that's gonna change, right? When you think about the money that's paid to European players and European leagues and stuff like that. I don't see it moving beyond like a feeder. And which is cool. I mean, it would be cool to like come up and like watch a player like grow with your team and then make it big overseas or something. Like that would be pretty cool. But in terms of like really truly growing like the hardcore fandom, I don't know. I have a hard time seeing the MLS as like the conduit for that.
Yeah, I think I agree, and I think it's yeah. I mean, at least we're sending more and more players to Europe. I mean,
Certainly.
that's
Yeah.
definitely an encouraging sign. I mean, I think we have 50 or 60 guys over there now. Which I guess just hope for a good result in 26, and then maybe that'll just get more young kids, talent to enter soccer, when they're 12 or whatever, and we can start to be good.
Hey, so this one is like extremely minor, but it's kind of close to my heart. I have one other like thing, and then maybe we can wrap it up. So, and that is all right. So things like fantasy football, DraftKings, all of these kind of gamification of sports are huge here, right? And I know that there are, I can't even remember what it's called, but I know that there are like pretty popular similar type games, like in England, for instance. But for me, it's like kind of near and dear to my heart because I love like data and stats, and like I get as much fun kind of pouring through that stuff than I do sometimes watching the games, right? So like I tend to enjoy that, but also like your fantasy football, the folks who like would might be interested in it from a fantasy perspective or whatever, it is extremely difficult, I've found, to find like good soccer stats. Like even if you go to like the big sites, like if you go to the Premier League's own site or FIFA.com or whatever, like it is not easy, even on a game, to just pull it up and say and like understand what happened. Like yes, I see stats like number of passes and goals and assists, and that's about it, right? Like I don't know what else there is, but I just feel like we over here at least have become pretty accustomed to like sort of understanding next level stats. I won't even say advanced stats, but just something that's a little next level to help us understand kind of what happened. And I personally love that stuff, and it's just extremely difficult for me to find it when soccer is so dispersed worldwide, right?
Yeah, that's I don't have any good answer there. And I took this course in college about kind of the history of sport, and I remember us having a discussion, and kind of like one of the reasons that baseball kind of became so attractive in America was the stats, right?
Yeah.
And I think we still feel that way, but just kind of the we you know we this just kind of speaks to our culture or something. We like to kind of quantify and calculate and kind of, you know, it's like Protestant kind of psyche going on, you know, of like analyzing things or something. And and I think soccer, it just doesn't quite have that almost. I mean, it's like more of a feel and just, you know, they do have metrics for like player performance each games, but I don't know how much that does for me. I mean,
Yeah, I've seen some cool ones, right? Like expected goals created and like stuff like that. Like I've seen them. I just don't know how to get to them easily.
I see.
And if you can, it's probably going to be like for one specific league and not all the leagues or what, you know what I mean? Like that makes it difficult on my end a
I
little
will
bit.
recommend an app called FOT Mob, Fote Mob.
Okay, I will look it
Yeah.
up.
I recently downloaded that, and it's useful. You can follow players, and it's kind of all there.
All right, great.
Yeah. So hopefully I'll solve that problem for you.
Okay, so we had in our little outline, we had like reasons for optimism. I don't know that I really brought a lot of optimism, but I will say this, like I love watching the men's national team, and I'm super excited for the World Cup to be coming to the States soon. Hopefully if we perform well there, like I still think that that's kind of our best shot at like really capitalizing on the opportunity of this generation. Do you
I
have,
agree.
I know you mentioned that too. Do you have any other reasons for optimism?
Not really, but just the continued decline of baseball, I think, would help. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it does seem to be like there's some organic growth, and I
Yeah.
know obviously we have the athletes and we have the money, you know, here. So, you know, it's just kind of a matter of, like, you know, can we get the skill to go with it? You know, the knowledge of the games, those nuances that, you know, teaching the right way to play and all that stuff that I think we just kind of lack, you know, compared to these countries that, like, it's the number one sport and they get all the best athletes to go into it. You know, the Netherlands, for instance, they have, I think, 18 million people in their country, and, you know, they're a top five team, top eight team every World Cup.
Right.
You know, we have almost 400 million. I don't know. It's kind of a resources priority thing or something. So I think we can. It just kind of will we?
Yeah, really, I think you're totally right. Like it's bubbling, right? And the
Yeah.
potential is there, but something has to happen to like break that ceiling, right? And really like explode it.
Yeah, agreed.
All right,
All
so
right, man.
we've gone
Yeah.
on for quite a while. This has been a lot of fun, man. I've had a great time chatting with you. It was way less scary than I expected. So so I appreciate you kind of bearing with me and everything, but I had a great time. It was awesome.
Likewise, I enjoyed always good chatting, and thanks for having me on. Yeah.
All right, man. We'll talk to you later.
All right, take care, Keith. Talk to you.
Later.
See ya.